the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Ring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, forevermore. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord. And crown him Lord of all. Hallelujah, 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 forevermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord, and crown him Lord.
A slight review. Yesterday, I had car trouble. I have a side hustle, and I pulled into a gas station, filled up, went in to use the facilities, came back out, and a car died.
Oh.
Wow. And I, you know, it was a 5-6 hour ordeal between getting calling my mechanic. He said he would come out, but he didn't come out. Then calling AAA, asking for a tow. And turn out, it's just there's some issue with the battery. He gave me a boost. I thought it was something else because I had other issues with the car. He gave me a boost and that took care of it. For now, I mean. Anyway. The car is like me. It's up there in age, has lots of miles on it, and just things, little things starting to go. I'm just waiting for my trade-in. My trade-in is coming someday. Hallelujah. And it will be an upgrade. Hallelujah. And I don't mean the car, it's all about me. But anyway, while I was waiting, I said, Lord, there's a reason why you have this happening. You know, we live in a fallen world and things happen, but the Lord is sovereign over it all. So I said, God, why did you have me here? And it's like, I went for a walk with the Lord. as I used to do that so much and haven't done that in a while. Just go for a walk with the Lord. Just meditate on him in your heart and talk to him while you're walking. So I had time to do that, and I hadn't done that in a while. So it was precious. But I asked God, is there somebody you want me to talk to? And I was waiting for one of those call moments. And it didn't happen. At least I didn't recognize it until, it didn't hit me until this morning. Yeah, I had opportunities, but I didn't see it. And because I think a witness is a big thing you got to do. You got to pull out the witness and be ready for that Billy Graham sermon and have somebody come down. It wasn't like that. Like Lord reminded, you know, you just say, God bless you. Mm-hmm. Just tell him Jesus loves you. Sometimes that's enough. So I just encourage you, if you're ever in a situation like that, say, like, why am I stuck here? There'll be somebody, like somebody was near me working at the gas station, just empty the garbage. Just say, God bless you. Say, God loves you. It's just as simple as that. That could make somebody's day. So it's just encouragement. The opportunities are all around, especially as we see the day drawing near. And everybody's speaking in tongues nowadays. I'm not talking about spiritual tongues. Imagine you were saying God bless you to counteract all that. You know, people hearing filth all the time and speaking filth, and yet we'll say grace, words of grace. So it's encouragement.
Savior, I serve. closer to you, Jesus, draw me close, closer to you, Jesus, draw me close, closer to you, my God. I'm letting go of the things I know that keep me back from you. I'm letting go of the things I know that keep me back from you. Draw me close, closer to you, Jesus.
Beyond the grave, holy,
today we shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar, glory to our God, who gave his life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord. What a day there will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I see. And I look at his face,
James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10.
Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen. You may be seated. Do we have children today?
Good morning. Good to see you all, and happy Thanksgiving ahead of time. I'm sure when I see y'all next week, you'll be a little heavier. So I'm glad I have you this week where I can fill you up before you're too full. Okay, so the jokes are bad this morning, but they get better, maybe. We'd like to welcome you all today, and as we continue our study in 1 Corinthians, if you have your Bibles, if you'll open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And our title this morning is The Gifts of the Spirit, Part 1. We're going to be carrying this over today and into next week and maybe even the third week. I'm not sure yet. but we will see as we go. So, Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for this season. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to come in your presence together. For we know that we're all in your presence when we're alone, because the Holy Spirit is with us. But as we come together, Lord, we come corporately to worship together, to sing praises to you, to encourage one another, to grow in your word, and to grow in the knowledge of who you are in our lives. And we just pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Guide us this morning as we go through your word. And may you have your way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, we looked at God's perfect order. And while cultures change and the way things are done sometimes changes, God's order never changes. God doesn't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's so important for us to understand this knowledge and this knowing, so that we don't try to change the character of God to meet our needs or our desires. And that's easy to do if you're not careful, to get wrapped up into what you think you want or what other people have and what you think you want that they have. And before you know it, you're kind of out of line with the will of God, because you're really wanting him to be more like your God, personal. And in some cases, you're putting yourself in place of God. And so what he wants us to understand is that he doesn't change. We need to desire him for who he is and learn to put our wants and our desires aside, so that we're not constantly trying to manipulate God. He will not be manipulated. You cannot move him and bend him to your will. All you're doing is kicking against the goads, as he told Paul. Why are you doing this? You're going the wrong direction. And so we need to come to this place where we understand, okay, my desires, my fleshly needs, my fleshly wants, I'm putting them down, and I'm allowing God to do what he wants to do in my life and to mold me in who he wants me to be. The fall of man set into motion a pattern of selfishness and rebellion. And our fleshly nature, which we're all born with, tried to push God off of his throne. And say, I'm better suited there, God. I can make my own decisions. I can do what I want to do for me. And we kind of tell him that we think he's doing things wrong. Now, I don't know many people who use those words out loud. God, you're doing it all wrong. But I know people who act like that's what they mean when they say, I know what's best for me, and I'm going to do it my way. And God, I hope you're on board. And I've had people tell me before, I really believe God wants me to do this, so I'm just going to do it, and he'll come along with me. That's not the way we should be in approaching our relationship with God. We shouldn't approach him like, I'm going forward, God, I hope you catch up. And at the same time, we shouldn't be saying, God, I see you up there, but I really don't want to go that way. What it means is complete submission to his will in our life, so that we go where he wants us to go, to do what he wants us to do. And we also understand and have to come to understand that because of sin, people wound other people. And healing from these wounds cannot be accomplished through the world system or the world's ways. To try to do that just compounds the problem, and you can never appease enough in cultural war, because the flesh is never satisfied. If Jesus is not your answer, then you're looking for something that's not going to ever fix itself, no matter what it is. And we have all the things in our world today. We can look around in our culture, this group against this group. This group is me. It's all about me. It's all about this. It's all about that. And they're wanting someone, government for the most part, to fix their problem. Well, the government's so messed up, they can't even see themselves in the mirror, let alone help anybody else. And if that's who you're dependent upon, you're going to be let down. And so you're pushing, and these cultural things are pushing for appeasement. This happened to me, therefore I want retribution, and I want it fixed. And not only do they want it fixed, they want more. And so you give them more. What do they want? More. Because it's flesh. It's not spirit. And when you come seeking God through spirit and in truth, and lay those other things aside, what happens is you begin to realize I'm no longer a victim. I'm no longer offended by everything. Why? Because I'm not looking to find fault with people. I'm looking to find hope in Jesus. And when I find my hope in Jesus, the fault with people falls aside. I can learn to love them. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's the direction we're supposed to go. Healing can only come through a relationship with Jesus. Repentance and forgiveness is the only solution to all the cultural issues of today. And before we expect others to come to us, we need to go to the Lord and submit ourselves to Him and be willing to go to others and walk it out in relationship. The church should be a place of healing, not a place of self-centered me mentality. And if that's what's coming in the front door, guess what's going to go out? Same thing. Unless it comes to the point to where these people are changed, and that's who we're supposed to be. We are no longer our old fleshly. We become a new creation in Christ. So therefore, should be walking that out, dying to ourselves, living for Jesus, which then helps us live for others. Now this morning, we're going to be looking at the spiritual gifts. Now I'm going to tell you right now, the spiritual gifts apply in these very things that we're talking about. The things within the church, the woundings, the hurts, the spiritual gifts are given specifically to edify the church. They're there for the purpose of edifying one another, growing together, and encouraging one another. And we're going to look at them. We're going to look at who gives these gifts and the importance of discernment and wisdom regarding the gifts of the Spirit. So let's begin this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I'm going to stop there. It's not my notes, but I think I need to stop there. Because I'll be honest with you. I think what's happened in the body of Christ is that regarding the spiritual gifts, people have become ignorant. Or they are ignorant. Now that doesn't mean they're stupid. It doesn't mean that people are just dumb and can't figure things out. What it means here is that it has been taken in so many directions that people are ignorant of what does it really mean? What are the spiritual gifts? Why are they here? What is going on with it? And we've got extremes. We've got extremes where they're hijacked and it's all about the show and the performance and the excitement and the rowdiness and everybody running around chaotic. Or you've got the other side that says, no, they don't exist. So you've got these extremes here. That's ignorance. And to the extremes, it basically says we own them, we do what we want to with them, versus no, because we've seen such rowdiness, we don't believe they're real, so we're not going to practice them or even acknowledge them. Well, where's the balance in that? The balance is in the Word as we go through this morning. And he goes on in verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This is an acknowledgement that comes from God Himself. For us to receive Jesus and say He's our Savior and receive Him as our Lord and say Jesus is Lord, that comes from God Himself. Think about it. When Peter, Jesus was questioned, who do men say that I am? And they say, well, they say you're a prophet. And some say you're a teacher. Well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Son of God. You are given by God Himself. And what does Jesus say? God Himself has revealed this to you. So it's God that reveals the truth about who He is to us. So the Holy Spirit is already working. Right there, the Holy Spirit has then come to us, brought the attention to us that it's all about Jesus. He's the door to get to the Father. Now that we have this knowledge, we receive Him. The Holy Spirit enters in. Well, what happens at that point? Does it stop there? For many, I prayed the prayer. It's done. And for others, they're always seeking the next exciting thing. So there's always a search for, well, let's go to this place because this is where it's happening. And let's go to this place because this is where it's happening. And you have people chasing one revival or one event after the other only to burn out to go to the next one. And it burns out and you go to the next one. Again, there has to be balance here. So it's God who reveals himself to us by the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on. It says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit, meaning the gifts, that's when the gifts are manifested in us, when the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Not for the one he's working through, but for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11 is key here. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I could end on that particular verse. I won't. I don't want to let you down. It's early. But that is the core of the message this morning. It's as he wills. So up to this point, and as we've been going through our study in the letter of to the Corinthian church, Paul has been laying a foundation for a healthy church. First, it's putting Jesus first. You put Jesus first. This is the grounding and building upon that foundation. Being in unity with him, that brings us in unity with each other. That's the two greatest commandments. We continue to come back to those two greatest commandments. Jesus was very clear on this. Listen, the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love one another as yourself. The law and the prophets all hang on these two commandments. Doesn't mean that you toss the other law, all that out. Jesus fulfilled the law. You don't toss out all the other commandments. He fulfilled them. Now everything is found in him, in our relationship with him. That's where everything is found now. So the law and the prophets, everything hangs upon these two things. And learning to trust the God who is, rather than the God we want him to be, keeps us in a place of humility. And this is another key point this morning, to understand and not be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit. We have to come to God in humility. Not in pride. Not in, I have to have this gift. I want this gift above every other gift. This is mine. I desire it. Listen, we're going to get into the desire and the gifts in a few minutes. But what I'm saying here now is that we can receive all that he has for us. But until we walk in humility, it's not going to be either real or it's going to be messed up, because we'll get in the way of it. But humility is where we can receive the gifts of the Spirit. And then those gifts can be exercised through us and in us by the power of the Holy Spirit as he sees fit and as he gives them. Now, with that said, I want to break this down a little bit, and we're going to look at the gifts. Who the Holy Spirit gives them to, and what is the purpose of the gifts. But before we get into the message this morning, I want to first say that these passages are very clear that the gifts of the Spirit are alive and well today. They are for us today. I want to make sure we lay that right on the table at the very beginning. They're given by the Holy Spirit today. Now, there is a teaching about, it's called cessation, which basically means that the gift stopped. And this is a big thing in many groups today, particularly not beating anybody up, but the Baptist Church in particular believes that all the gifts stopped when all the apostles died. That's called cessation, the cessation of the gifts. And when they died, the gifts died. Now, this teaching is not grounded or taught in the Word, but some do grab a hold of one particular passage to defend their point. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 9. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now again, this verse has been misinterpreted by some groups by saying and believing that what this means is, now that we have the Bible, that's which is perfect. That means we don't need the gifts of the Spirit anymore. They're all going away. So using this passage as their evidence that they've ceased, then we all also have to look in depth at this passage. Well, okay, if tongues are going to fail and they're gone, and prophecies are gone, well, wait a minute. Knowledge is gone? We don't need any more knowledge? Now, there's no new insights regarding who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, who God is. There's not going to be anything new there, but there's going to be new things that we're going to be able to understand as we study and understand who God is and study the Word. Knowledge is continual. I gain knowledge every day. Some is things I forgot yesterday and have to relearn it today. I've forgotten more today than I'll ever learn tomorrow, I'm sure. But knowledge is continual. It's not a done thing. We grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. Then I want you to grow in the knowledge. Okay, so to grow in the knowledge means it's continual. So knowledge can't go away. But according to the people who view this way, the knowledge has ceased. You really have all you have. Let's just move on. There's nothing else to gain here. Well, then why do we come to church? Why do we fellowship with one another? Why do we study God's Word? We know the importance of studying God's Word every day, getting into it, diving in, asking for the Holy Spirit for wisdom and discernment and understanding. James says, pray for wisdom. Why? If we don't need anything else, what is this all about? It's about a continued relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a continued growing. So the knowledge will continue. But this is part of their thought here. If this view is true, we're now at a place where we can no longer gain any more than we already know. Which, to me, somewhat silences or quenches the Holy Spirit, does it not? And we're told not to do that. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Now, in this passage particular, they use verse 10 to solidify their argument, believing that the complete and written Word of God, being the Bible, is that which is perfect. And I believe they misinterpreted this verse. This verse is not speaking of the Bible. It's speaking of the return of Jesus. It's speaking when we see Him face to face. See, when we meet Jesus face to face, things are going to change. This finite mind, it's gone. The body is going to be renewed. And with all that and understanding that, we're going to see and know things that we can't see and know now in this fleshly tent. God reveals things to us day by day. And sometimes He gives us things that blow our mind. And it's like, wow, God, I saw You move in this miraculous way. And I see these things happening. And this is great when He does that. But these finite beings that we are, the mind, the body, is not at this point. It was initially in the garden. It was able to receive and understand these things. But when sin entered, it brought darkness. It brought blindness. Our spirit went to sleep. And now this body, because of sin, because of deterioration in the mind and the body, we're no longer able to receive the full aspect of who God is until we see Him face to face, when we're completely renewed. And so when that takes place, we're going to be transformed. New minds, new understanding. That's when we will no longer need the gift of prophecy. That's when we'll no longer need the gift of tongues, the interpretations, or any of the gifts at that point, because we're going to be fully, completely renewed in reality with Jesus Christ. So that's what this verse is referring to. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, "For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then," meaning Jesus face to face, "we will see him fully for who he is. Now I know in part, but then I shall know him just as I also am known." Now that is an interesting verse. Jesus knows us today the way we don't know ourselves in full. How's that possible? Because Jesus is not bound in time. God is not bound up by the clock. We are in this finite world we live in, so we're having to get up at daylight, or, well, not necessarily daylight, depending upon what time you go to work. You know, with the time change, you know, maybe 10, I don't know. But whatever time you wake up, you wake up. Sun comes up, sun goes down. We go to bed at night. We have all these activities during the day. We still have to have that physical rest. We still have to have all these things to deal with. This is all part of who we are in this tent. But God is outside of that. He's way beyond all of that. He's in the eternal. So therefore, he knows yesterday as if it were today. He knows today and he knows tomorrow as if it were today, because he knows all. He already knows our perfected selves. He knows everything about us. He sees us in full the way we really are. We can't see ourselves there yet, but he does. He already knows us when we're transformed. This is mind-blowing. This is mind-blowing. When you really can grab a hold of the concept that God literally sees you complete, where we can't see ourselves, we're looking dimly in a mirror. So this is where the challenge comes as a believer today. God, I want to see myself the way you see me. This is a prayer I encourage us to pray regularly. Let me see myself the way you see me. Now there's two things going to happen. He's going to reveal, number one, he's confirmed you by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to reveal that to you. You're going to have the confidence in who you are in him. But at that same time, he's also going to show you the areas that he wants you to change. That's the hard part. Show me the good stuff, God. Well, let's just go to so-and-so's church down in Texas. 30,000 people will tell you how good you are and how good you're going to get and everything you're going to get with it. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is, God, reveal in me more of you, so that when I look in that mirror, though still dimly, I see more of you than I see myself. That's what we're supposed to be seeking. That's what we're supposed to be desiring. Now, let's look at these gifts. First, the list that Paul gave us here. We see wisdom. That's a great gift. Again, James says, seek wisdom. But when you ask for wisdom, what do? Ask believing. He wants to give you wisdom. Ask for it, believing that you're going to receive it. Otherwise, you're being tossed to and fro like a man on the sea. Just, you know, you're double-minded. Not really believing anything you're praying. He said, pray, believing for wisdom. And it goes on. You have the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, again, is a continual gift. It gives us information. A word of knowledge could work hand in hand with prophecy. They can cross over. But the gift word of knowledge is basically telling and giving you information and showing you sometimes how to pray. He will give you an encouragement. How many times have you heard the testimonies? I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, the Lord laid you on my heart. Well, I'm glad he did, because 3 o'clock in the morning, I was having this major pain. I didn't know what it was. I rolled over, it was my husband. No, I'm just... So we have to continue to see that these gifts are given as he sees fit. So we have the word of knowledge. Then we have faith. Now, wait a minute. Faith's a gift? Yes, it is. Remember what we said earlier? It's the Holy Spirit who reveals himself to you. Now, depending upon how you receive that and how you choose to acknowledge that, your faith is built and growing, but it's a continual gift of the Holy Spirit to keep you in that place of faith, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what's going on in your life. We walk in faith, not by sight. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Healings. Healing is a gift of the Spirit. And there are times when the gift is moving and we see instantaneous healing. We've seen healing in this church. We've seen kidneys restored, haven't we? We've seen hands and things removed. People have been healed in this church. But it doesn't happen every minute of every day. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It gives it as he sees fit, and people are healed. Then we have working of miracles. Prophecy, another gift of the Spirit. And prophecy, this is another thing I want you to hear me about prophecy. Most of the time when you think about prophecy or prophets, you think about a traveling guy going around telling everybody what they wanted to hear or what they need to hear in their life. And there are churches that do that. I've seen traveling prophets. I've seen how they operate. I've seen them work. I'm not saying they're all wrong or all right. I'm just saying that there are those that travel, and that's their ministry, as they go around. I'll leave it between them and the Lord if they should be or shouldn't be. If they're charging, we got a problem. God's gifts are not for sale. We should not be charging for what God gives us to do. So we have prophecy. Now, prophecy also is actually speaking forth God's word. Studying and speaking his word is prophetic. Why? Because God's word is prophetic. You go back all the way through the Old Testament into the New Testament. We see prophecy of Jesus is coming. We see the prophecy that he arrived and how it was fulfilled. And now we see that he, after he ascended and sent it to the right hand of the Father, we see other prophecies yet to be fulfilled. He's coming back. That's prophetic. So when we're studying and we're reading God's word, that is part of prophecy. And then we have the discerning of spirits. And this is an important gift given by the Holy Spirit. Because there are many spirits out there. You have to test the spirits. The Word of God says do that. How do you test them? Well, first, do they believe in Jesus? Are they confessing Jesus as the Lord? Because we just read here that only the Holy Spirit can bring you to the point where you can confess Jesus as Lord. So you have to discern the spirits. That also means that when somebody's teaching or preaching, it doesn't mean whether you agree or disagree. It means taking it to the Word of God and saying, is that what this is saying? And that is a discerning of spirits, because many speak many things that they want you to hear. And what is it? What I think in Timothy it said, you know, many are coming hearing what their itching ears want to hear, because false teachers and false prophets are puffing them up for their own benefit and their own gain, which is not godliness. Contentment is godliness, and that's what we learn in these things as we go through. Different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. This one, I'm not going to get into the details on this one this morning. We're going to take a minute and go through that at another message, because tongues and prophecy are the two gifts that get everybody in more trouble than anything else. More people misunderstand it. More people are afraid of it because they do not understand biblically what the purpose of those gifts are. And you have to look at one more thing. Because they're the two verbal gifts, what gets us in trouble? What did James talk about? The tongue. The tongue is untamable. So if you're running around filled with the Spirit, with the gift of tongues, but you're not really walking with the Spirit, you can be dangerous with that tongue. And all say it's, oh, well, God spoke it through me. Well, I don't like yabba-dabba-doo. I was told one time, you need to learn to speak in tongues. Just sit there and start practicing. Yabba-dabba-doo, yabba-dabba-doo. Literally, I was told this. I said, well, you go practice your cartoon play somewhere else. That's not the Holy Spirit. He's not going to teach you in human ways his gifts. His gifts are beyond our way of understanding. So, no, I don't want any part of that. You go do your thing. Romans 12. Chapter 12 also calls these things gifts as well. Ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving is a gift. Leadership and mercy, all of these are gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. But I want you to hear me this morning. These gifts are given for all, but not every gift is given to all. Very important that we understand this. Each one is given what the Holy Spirit wants to give, as we read earlier, as he sees fit, as he wills, for the purpose of edification of the church. Therefore, you may not be in a place where he wants to use that gift in you, because it's not, the body doesn't need to be edified that way. So you may not ever see that gift. You may never receive one or more of the gifts, but you will receive what he wants you to have when he wants you to have it for the purpose that he's given it to you for. And verses 29 through 31 make it clear that not everyone may receive the same gift, but they all work together in the body according to his will. And we're going to get into that a little bit more later on. Now, verse 7 tells us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then we can go to 1 Corinthians 14:12, and we read, even so you, since you're zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So what is the focus here? What is the focus as we're reading this about the gifts of the Spirit? They're given for all, not for me. So I don't claim a gift as my own. The Holy Spirit gives it to me for the purpose of ministering to other people, blessing others, encouraging others. That is the purpose, for the edification of the church, not for oneself. Now, unfortunately, in some circles, the gifts have been hijacked. They're overemphasized for personal gain rather than for the edification of others. And again, particularly the gift of tongues and prophecy have been elevated to the forefront, and because they're the most verbal, they're the easiest to abuse. I do believe that all of the gifts are available for us. And according to what Scripture teaches us, we should seek them and we should desire them. Verse 31 in this chapter says, but earnestly seek or earnestly desire the best gifts. Then it goes into what? 1 Corinthians 13. It's all about love, isn't it? If you have the gift of tongues, if you have these gifts and you're loud, it's nothing more than noise if you're not love, if you're not walking in love. Well, how do we walk in love? We have to walk in relationship with Jesus. If we're not in relationship with Jesus, the gifts are of no benefit to anyone. Because we're not allowing ourselves to receive what he wants to give us. We're trying to take something that's his, and it will get abused every single time. But that doesn't negate the fact that we're supposed to desire them and pray for them and seek them. In 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 7, Paul said, I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that basically what's Paul saying here is that because of the grace of God that is given to you, you're enriched, you're blessed, you have access to everything the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and through you. You have access to the power, the dynamite, dynamos is the Greek word, dynamite power of the Holy Spirit in your life right now. That doesn't mean that you need to jump up and run around on the pews. What it means is you seek God for the power so that as he puts that power in you, it's distributed, balanced to the people around you that it's supposed to go to. Has nothing really to do with us individually, except that we're willing vessels. We're willing vessels. And as we just read in 1 Corinthians 14, the church was zealous for the Corinthian church. Now think about this for a minute. The Corinthian church was zealous for the gifts. They desired them. They sought them. But we read about the Corinthian church, and what do we see? They were referred to as a carnal church. That's really their nickname, the Corinthian church, the carnal church. But they were zealous for the gifts. How can that be? How can this gap be between desiring the things of God, receiving the things of God, and allowing those things to be operating in us? Where is the mix-up? Where is the balance? If you're a carnal church, but you're desiring the gifts, and the gifts are being seen, something's not right. There's an imbalance in there. One would think that seeking the things of God would put them into a spiritual mindset, a spiritual place of receiving, a spiritual place of operating, a spiritual place of the gifts being distributed. All of this seems to be the way it would be, but it wasn't happening. So I'm going to make a point here. You may or may not agree with me on this point, but what I glean from this passage in this morning's teaching is seeking the gifts of God doesn't draw us closer to God. Wow, what? But I thought that's what it's all about. If I have the gifts, I'm closer to God. Obviously, He's given me these gifts to run with. No, seeking the gifts doesn't bring us closer to God, nor does seeking any work for God. Any ministry that you think you want to do, by doing that, does not bring you closer to God. We are not in a works-based religion. We are in a relationship with God. And so, therefore, anything, works of God, ministries of God, gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, all comes in accordance to the relationship and how close we are to God. We don't seek these things to get close to God. We seek these things because we're already close to God. And that's the difference here. The gifts of the Spirit aren't given for us to be closer. We are already closer to Him when we receive them. See, when we're seeking Jesus Himself, when we're desiring Him above all things, that's when the gifts are given. Because we're not in the way of them. And we're coming in humility. And again, I've already talked about the two greatest commandments. I got ahead of myself, talked about that a while ago, so I'm going to skip this part. But when we do draw close to God, we automatically draw closer to each other. That's part of the flow. Many times people get it backwards. They want to get close to others, and they want to get in people's lives, and they want to be ministry. Well, look at what happened with Job and his friends. They weren't seeking God when they went to comfort Job. They just thought, man, we need to go sit with God. He's obviously done something pretty bad. Look at this. He's lost everything. He's sitting there in ashes and all this stuff. He sores and he's scraping them. And, man, this guy's sin bad. We got to go tell him what he's done wrong. They didn't come seeking to be a benefit to him through the power of God. They came to be judgmental. And it didn't go well for them. Matter of fact, at the end of the whole passage, Job had to pray for them. Now, how do you think that brought them down to a place of humility? God said, listen, I'm not pleased with any of you guys, but I'm going to have Job, my servant, pray for you. Oh, boy. Now who's sitting in the spotlight? So it's not about those things. It's not about trying to do these things or draw closer to God this way. God gives us, the Holy Spirit gives us the gifts that we need, and He gives us the gifts for others, not for ourselves. The church of Corinth, they weren't seeking the gifts to edify the church. They were seeking the gifts to edify themselves in pride, not in humility. Now, did they receive them? Well, I believe in some cases they did, or Paul wouldn't be writing this letter the way he did. But Paul had to write a large portion of this letter in chapter 14, which we'll get to, regarding order in the church because of the misuse of the gifts. Specifically, again, tongues and prophecy, as I mentioned earlier, the two gifts that are the most out of balance in the church. We'll get into that teaching when we get into the next few studies. What I really want us to see this morning is each gift is given by the Holy Spirit as He sees fit to accomplish what He wants to accomplish through us as willing vessels. We are simply being a conduit where the energy flows through. That's all we are. Now, have you seen conduit pipes? They're just little metal pipes that you run electrical wires through. All these lights in here have all conduits all going through, you know, and everything is connected to something, but you have your main power source. And as Christians today, as believers, we are willing vessels, meaning that we are saying, Lord, I want to be that conduit. All I want to do is a pipe. Flow through me. Don't let it get clogged up. Because if it gets clogged up, it comes all about us. But Lord, keep it pure. Keep it holy. Keep this conduit clean so that as you flow through, it's going to minister to everyone that I come in contact with. the way you want it to. Now, understanding this, each one of us is different. We're all different. Personalities are different. Looks are different. Styles are different. The way we understand things is different. Our backgrounds are different. Some of the teachings we've had is different. So how does this blend? How do we bring all of that into a body and it flow properly? Well, each one of us has to come to the point where we're not bringing our baggage and putting it on the table and saying, this is how it's got to be done. Well, when you do that, you've already put the things into motion for division. It's already going to be division if you come in saying, this is the way it's got to be. This is what I was taught. This is the way it's always been. Mom and Daddy did it this way. When I went to church, this is how it was always done. So this is how we're going to do it. No, that's got to go out the window. What you've got to do is you've got to come and say, God, I want to understand through wisdom, through discernment, I want to understand these gifts and the way you want them to work. And I'm willing to be a part as a willing vessel and a conduit, but don't let me get it all messed up by saying it's got to be done this way. Listen, I've said this many times. There were two denominations formed when Jesus walked the earth. He healed the blind man. He spoke to him and said, be healed. The man was healed. Another blind man comes along. He takes dirt and he spits and makes mud and puts in his eyes. And what do you have? You have the church of the Mudites and the non-Mudites right off the bat. Dividing against how God's going to do the healing. That's not the way it's supposed to be. God's going to heal how he's going to heal. If he tells you to go dip in the water, go dip in the water. If he tells you to go do this, go do that. Now, I read this. This is Sandy Adams. I read this article recently. He has it posted on one of the Calvary websites. Sandy Adams is the regional overseer of the Calvary Chapel Association here in the Southeast. And he oversees many churches. But he was talking about, you've heard the name Lonnie Frisbee, some of you have. Lonnie Frisbee was a radical Christian hippie. The one thing I'd never learned about Lonnie was how he met the Lord. That's a part of the testimony I've never heard of how he just met Jesus. And boom, he was transformed. But he was a hippie, smoking and doping like all the rest of them were. Long-haired, beard, wore the long robey-looking things, you know, just really radical-looking. Well, in the early days, when he got saved, he wound up, by the power of the Holy Spirit, meeting up with Chuck Smith, and we have the history of Calvary Chapel today because of it. But anyway, Sandy is from the South, born and raised here. So he's out in California, and he wants to meet Lonnie Frisbee. And so he purposely tries to find him, and he meets up with Lonnie Frisbee one day, and he says, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Lonnie says, take off your sandals. Take off your shoes. And Sandy didn't connect the dots. What does that have to do with anything? And this is his word. What does that have to do with anything? I don't want to take off my shoes. I just want to see what God has for me. And Lonnie said, listen, if you're not going to be obedient to what God's telling me, just go on your way because you're not ready. You're walking in pride. Whoa. Now, if you know Sandy, it had to be the Holy Spirit for this guy to do that because you just don't talk to Sandy that way. He wouldn't receive it from the average Joe. So he left mad. He walked off. And then the Holy Spirit convicted him. He said, what he told you was right. He said, you came seeking something for yourself. You didn't come in humility seeking what I wanted you to have. So he humbled him and he went back. And he took off his shoes and said, okay, pray for me that I receive the gifts of Spirit. And Lonnie told him, nope, don't need to pray for you. The Lord told me I don't need to pray for you. You're good. Go. Now, he didn't speak in tongues at the moment. He didn't fall on the floor. He didn't do anything. But the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him what he needed, and he knew he was filled with the Spirit from that point on. See, it's not about doing it this way. It's about how the Holy Spirit leads you to do things. Well, this is a lesson that all of us have to learn, but we have to learn it in the way that God's going to give it to us. Because, again, we have different ways that we view things. We have different personalities, different backgrounds. And so we can't come to God and say, I want it done this way. Nor can we go to a denominational meeting that does it a certain way and expect it's going to be done that way or no way. And I've seen and been in churches where people come down front and they'll keep them there all night if they don't fall. They'll keep them all night if they don't speak in a tongue. All right, you ain't ready yet. So the service keeps going. And the music is pre-programmed for the moment that it's going to happen. Everybody's all on their feet. There's a somber moment in the music, pre-planned, pre-timed. And that's when it's going to happen. Why? Because that's happened that way before? Hallelujah. But it doesn't happen to have to have, get my tongue right. Does not have to be that way every time. The Holy Spirit is free to do what He wants to do when He wants to do it. The problem with the church is they either want it a certain way or they don't want it at all. Or they don't want it at all because they don't believe in it at all. And the Holy Spirit is saying, listen, just open your heart and receive what I have for you. That's all He wants to do in each one of us. We don't have to be afraid of the gifts, nor do we have to be in control of the gifts. The Holy Spirit gives it to each one as they can receive it. For some, it's going to be presented boldly, and for others, more gently. Jesus didn't always heal people the same way. Some He spoke, some He laid hands again, some even the lady with the bleeding disorder just touched His garment, and she was healed instantly. And Jesus knew it. Power's gone out. Somebody drained some power here. Whoa, what's going on? And the disciples like, you got to be kidding me, Jesus. There's thousands of people here. They're all bumping all over you. He said, yeah, but somebody touched me and somebody was healed. And this woman was there. Excuse me. When it comes to the gifts, we don't need to shy away from them. But we also don't need to put God in a box on how He wants to distribute them. Now again, this may step on toes today, but I believe that the gift of tongues is not the sign of being filled with baptized in the Spirit. Can it take place? Absolutely. And Scripture proves it has taken place. But that is not the sign that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If it's manifested at that time, hallelujah. But it doesn't have to be. The sign, here's your sign. The sign of one who receives the power of the Holy Spirit is simply the one who is seeking Him from a place of humility, and it will be revealed in him by the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is ready for them to receive it. It doesn't have to be a corporate meeting. It doesn't have to be a rally. It doesn't have to be a revival. It doesn't have to be a big church service. It's simply one individual. Or many, but particularly the attitude of the heart of all who are willing to come to Jesus and say, I want all that you have for me. And I'm coming in humility, not that it's mine, but because I want to be your servant. Jesus told His disciples, listen, you need to learn from example here. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. That was what Jesus did. That was who Jesus was. And if that's who He said He is and who He was, He's telling us, do what I do. Don't come in pride. Come in humility. If you come in humility, He will give you what you need. We all have the Holy Spirit. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, all of the Holy Spirit is in you right now. You have Him all. Wouldn't know it in some cases, but you do. So what does that mean? If I have all of the Holy Spirit, then what's holding it back? You are. Remember, the conduit's got a clog in it. And God says, get rid of the clog. Look to me. I want to give you all of the power from the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit wills in your life. Now, again, that could be a tremendous explosive event for some. For some, it could be very gentle and very quiet. But however we come to the Spirit, we need to come seeking Him in spirit and in truth, not in the flesh, not thinking that we're not complete. You're already complete in Christ as well. Remember, God sees you in completion of who you are. Right now, He sees that completed person. But he also sees in this fleshly tent things that are in the way that we can't receive it. I often think about the story of Abraham. When he told him, said, go and take your son and sacrifice him. And Abraham did what he was told. He took that knife. And as he raised that knife, he was going to plunge it. God sent the angel and said, stop. Now the word, the way it reads, it says, now I know your heart was for me above your son. But God already knew that. That story is more for Abraham than it was for God. Abraham needed confirming in his heart that he was willing to go all the way with what God called him to do. And therefore, God could use Abraham the way he wanted to use him. But until we get out of the way and realize that it's all about God in us, not us ourselves, he wants to reveal to us where we are, and he will do that through the Spirit. He will reveal where our hearts are, where our minds are, and that within itself is eye-opening to becoming humble before him, so that then we have the ability to tap into this power that he wants to give us. The Holy Spirit wants a healthy church. He wants a church that's effective. He wants a church that he can use. And when I say church, I'm not talking about the big group. I'm talking about the body. He wants to use the body of Christ for the purpose to minister to the body of Christ. But also, then when you get into the other gifts, such as evangelism, he wants to pour into that gift to the person and people that are going to be able to present the gospel where they go and where they're at and use according to his plan. All of these things are operated by the Holy Spirit. But man, in the fleshly cycle of fleshly nature, cannot receive the fullness of God. You've got to be humble. You've got to die to yourself. And the fleshly man can never receive the things of the Spirit, nor can the spiritual man ever walk in the fleshly nature. If you're walking in the Spirit, you've subdued the flesh. If you're walking in the flesh, you've pushed away the Spirit. Those two do not coexist. They do not work together. One will always dominate the other. But we're called to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We're called not to be a fleshly being, but to live in the Spirit. And this is a daily battle in this fleshly tent that we battle every single day. Period. The flesh is always going to battle against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, until we meet Jesus face to face. So this morning I want us to do two things. Number one, seek the Lord for all that he is, in the spirit of humility. Come to him with all the preconceived notions that you have about the Holy Spirit and the gifts, and give them to him. Say, God, this is what I've always thought. This is what I've always been taught. This is what I've always believed. Now I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you the reality and the truth, that you pour into me the fullness of who you are, so that I can receive the gifts, not for my benefit, but for the benefit of others. If I'm willing to do this and seek the Lord for all that he is, that's the first step to the balance and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then number two, ask him to fill you with the full power of the Holy Spirit, seeking the gifts, desiring the gifts, as we've already read, that he wants to give you, with the understanding that it will flow through you for the edification of the church. So that you're not coming seeking something for yourself. You're coming first to love him with all your heart, love others, serve others, and let him flow through you in accordance to his will. Now, I know that a lot of times at this point in the service, everybody's going to say, oh great, he's going to call us all down. I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm not calling you down this morning. Holy Spirit didn't tell me to do that. We're not going to have a big altar call with everybody coming down seeking a certain thing. I want you to do it right where you're at. I want you to seek what he has for you right where you're at. I believe that this is a personal thing between you and God. And I believe that what he wants to do in you is something that's going to change you to be more like him in the ways he wants you to be. He's going to meet you. The Holy Spirit will meet you right where you are. I know that there are people that, there may be somebody listening online right now as we stream this service, who's by themselves. They're not with a group of people. Are they limited? Because they're not with everybody else? That can they not receive? No. God will speak to them right where they are. I've heard testimonies of how people are on their, basically about to kill themselves, maybe even a suicidal place, where the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, no, I'm real and I love you. Now I want to change your life. And from that point on, they turned to God and they started walking and God began to pour into them. These are real testimonies. These things happen. So it's not about being in a group. It's not about being in a meeting. It's not being chaotic. It's not about being any of that. What it is, it's about us and God being real. God already knows our heart. God already knows the heart. You can sit in a chair and say, well, I believe this, and I accept this, and I receive that. And God's saying, that's wonderful. Those are true things. But you've cut me off by saying, I'm good. Don't need nothing else. We always need something else. We always need that infilling, the refreshing, the infilling of the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what He wants us to do. Now, the gift may not manifest here and now, but it will manifest when it's needed. God will hear your prayer. And God will the Holy Spirit will manifest in you when it needs to be done. Just be open to what He's doing in you and through you. There's more in the relationship with God that He wants us to have. And I'm going to close this morning with the prayer that Paul prayed over the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. And Father, I come right now and I pray this prayer as I read this particular chapter, Lord, because I believe this is what You're saying to us this morning. I pray that You would grant us, each one of us, according to the riches of Your glory, that we may be strengthened with Your might, through Your Holy Spirit, in our inner man. The deep parts of who we are, that hidden part, that area of ourselves that we've kind of hidden away, I pray, God, that You would reveal Yourself into that inner man. That, Jesus, You may dwell in our hearts through faith. That You, being rooted and grounded in love, meaning us, that we all be rooted and grounded in love, that we may be able to comprehend with all of the saints, the church, the body as a whole, what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height. Lord, to know Your love, which passes this finite knowledge, it passes our ability to understand You in our brain. It goes much deeper than that. That You, each one of you in this room, that the church of God themselves may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's our prayer this morning, Lord. That's our prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask in the name of Jesus for those who are receptive to be that conduit, who are coming in humility, who are not seeking their own, who are not afraid of it, Lord, to open their hearts to the fullness of the power of God and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in a way that we've never experienced before. So that when we leave this place, we will be a blessing to others, a light to the darkness in this world, an encouragement as we edify one another, speaking what You've given us to speak, doing what You've given us to do. And may the power of the Holy Spirit flow through each one who has the heart to receive all that You have. So in the name of Jesus, I close this prayer. In the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, may He flow upon each one who is willing to be willing to receive all that He has for you. And we thank You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, we stand and we worship. Amen. And amen. Yes. Yes, there's a ladies' conference. Why don't you tell us the dates on that, Amy? It's a ladies' conference coming up.
That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. March 21st through the 23rd in Stone Mountain. There's a ladies' conference.
So if any of the ladies are interested, we'll be probably receiving stuff in the mail, flyers and things on that. So we'll give that. We'll confirm those dates a little bit further on. So so if you can go from there. And before we close, I want to, I know that Paul's in the, oh, there he is. Paul, you want to come up? Paul and Mary have been so faithful year after year, helping coordinate these gift boxes through Samaritan's Purse. And we want to pray over these gift boxes one more time. How many did we wind up with? Did we get a total?
I think 29.
We
were over 21.
29.
I'm sorry?
29.
29? Wow.
My age.
Your 29th anniversary of your 29th year. That's not bad. Yeah. Paul, would you pray over these for us?
Well, it's good to see you all here. And thank you for this wonderful outpouring of these kids. It's great stories with these boxes of going to kids far away. Yeah. They get the toys, they get this material that's in it, and then they get the word. And that's the most important thing. So, Father, we do come before you right now, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would bless these boxes mightily, Lord. Just the message that's in them, the things that are going to happen with that, Lord. And we hope for a great harvest that to come from this. Give the step-by-step processes a smooth operation, Lord. And most of all, Lord, what we want from this is that those boxes will bring joy to these kids, but also a powerful message of your son's salvation for them. And we thank you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 A wonderful Thanksgiving as we go into the season this week with your family and friends, and enjoy the season. And always remember what we have, what we're most thankful for. Mm-hmm. Yes, we love our family, love our friends. We're thankful for the things God's given us, but most importantly for what He's given us mm-hmm. in our relationship with Him, the door that He opened, that we can now be in relationship with the Father. Amen.
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 Place in
his tender care, he will share his love with people everywhere. May God keep us till we